We all kind of looked at each other, and one of the ideas we had up on the board was highway barriers. And one of the gentlemen said, man, if you could make those highway barriers, I'd be glad to buy everyone you could make. We fail. We were like, it's like making your first recipes, you know, and you look at it and you go, this did not work. But we were like, well, it makes sense. Maybe we can keep trying. Everybody that looked at us, they said, man, you do that, like, we got your back.
And you believed them?
Yes.
Did they commit to that in writing before you had funding? Like,
no.
If someone were thinking about getting involved in the sustainable products business now, you know, thinking about the journey that you've had, like, what advice would you give them from the beginning that would have made that journey easy, make it easier for them now?
Man, that is a really good question. Number one, focus on.
This is the Broco 360 podcast for people who love Colorado and love hearing from Colorado's most inventive and successful entrepreneurs. I'm Dave Tabor. This episode is with Eric Davis talking about Pretread, a company that is producing barriers from recycled waste tires. And when I say barriers, think of those big blocks of concrete that divide lanes on the highway or hold temporary fencing. Now, think of them instead being made from recycled tires. They're lighter, more attractive, they don't crack, they're better shock absorbing, and they put to use the millions and millions of old tires that are sitting in ugly and dangerous piles all over the country. Pretread is one of those companies that's solving a big problem with an obvious solution that I should have thought of, but I didn't. Eric did. And he has the funding to show for it from groups like Goodyear Ventures, Techstars, and Denver Angels. In fact, my friend David Pritchard at Denver Angels encouraged Eric and me to connect for this episode. So Eric and I are here together at Pretread. I just had a really cool tour, and I signed an NDA, so I can't tell you everything I saw. But Eric, glad you're here on Proco 360.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Dave. Pleasure to be here.
Good. Well, and it's a pleasure for me to be. Guys, I saw some really cool stuff. You'll have to try to talk to Eric yourself to see it. But really impressive what you're doing here at Pretread. So tell us more about sort of an overview of the business.
Sure. So our business was originally founded by me sitting over here fly fishing in a local creek. If everybody's familiar with Red Rocks Amphitheater.
Yeah.
And there's a creek right down beneath there called Bear Creek. And there I was fly fishing right in the creek. And I saw a pile of waste tires and some plastics in it. And the engineer in me thought, oh, there's got to be something great we can make out of that. So from that, I got a group of really smart people together in the room. And we all kind of looked at each other. And one of the ideas we had up on the board was highway barriers. And one of the gentlemen said, man, if you could make those highway barriers, I'd be glad to buy everyone you could make. And I said, well, do they exist? And he said, no. So, well, here we go.
Wow.
So 10 years later, here we are.
Yeah, but what happened? I'm going to talk about how you got from here to there, but the scale of this problem of, talk about the scale of the problem of these millions, and I'm not exaggerating, millions of tires,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure. So I don't think most people are aware, you know, so we generate about a tire per person in the United States every year.
Yeah.
Every year. So if you look at that and you say we're generating about 350 million tires this year,
oh my God.
That's a pretty large number.
Yeah.
And then many people in Colorado don't know this, but we have 60 million tires, give or take, sitting in storage in our state.
Well, you call it storage.
Yes. It's called a monofill, a tire monofill. And it's out here on the east side of Colorado. And, you know, it's been there for many years. And so for me, like seeing those tires, seeing that problem,
yeah,
and understanding the amount of waste, I was like, there's got to be something we can do about it to make a difference.
Yeah. So now, okay, so you had the concept, okay, turn tires into recycled rubber barriers, right? So, but what happened between the idea and turning it into something you can actually sell?
A lot of failure.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, what was the first thing you did?
Oh my gosh. Well, so I went out and I met with the state of Colorado and I said, hey, do you guys know anybody that could, you know, sit down and help me with this idea and people that we could help start, you know, creating the foundation of a company? And Colorado introduced me to a gentleman, Rick Welly. And Rick Welly and I really sat down and said, hey, how do we take these tires and turn it into something that, you know, would be strong, durable, long-lasting, you know, environmentally friendly. So we took some tire material and we ground it up. That was our first attempt.
It's like the Phil Knight, story in his kitchen.
Yeah, pretty much. Or like Lara with Lara Bar, you know, like we were like, hell, let's just try it out. So we tried it out and man, we failed. Let me tell you, we failed. We were like, it's like making your first recipes, you know, and you look at it and you go, this did not work. But we were like, well, it makes sense. Maybe we can keep trying. So as we kept trying, you know, we got a little bit better. We learned a little bit more. We figured out how to make stuff bigger.
Well, what were you doing it? Were you making it in like a waffle iron kind of thing? Seriously?
We took a couple of pieces of scrap steel when we started. And I was like, hell, I can weld that, right? So we put it together and we pour it all in there and we do our secret sauce to it. And by God, it came out. And like one of the first ones came out. We're like, well, we made a block. Can we make it bigger?
Huh.
And I went, I don't know. Let's try. You know, so it just was revisions and steps thereafter.
Well, describe how big these are now.
Oh, sure. So for everybody, you know, you can't really see them, but our barriers, they weigh between a ton, you know, all the way up to, you know, a ton and a half. So they weigh quite a bit.
Each one. So was I right when I said they're lighter than concrete?
They are.
Okay.
They're a little bit lighter than concrete. We're about 2/3 the weight of concrete, you know, depending upon the application. But if you look at it as, you know, say a small barrier of ours would utilize about 70 passenger tires.
Huh.
A mid-sized barrier of ours would utilize about 100 passenger tires. And a large barrier of ours will utilize about 120
tires.
That's
a lot of tires.
It's a lot of tires.
So, all right, back up a little bit, though, because you went from a block to something that became a sellable product.
Yes.
Right? So you had to turn it, go from experiment to business concept and raising some money at some point, right?
Yeah.
So when did that lever flip?
Yeah, let's hit that. That's a great question. So I was the original funder and founder, you know, so funder is the key word.
Yeah,
so
of course.
So my wife looked at me and said, is there anything else you could do that might be cheaper? But, you know, I funded it up to a certain point and then we needed really large equipment. When you start making something that weighs a ton, or a ton and a half, you're talking, you know, 2,500, 3,000 pounds, you need really big equipment. Well, it's not like you can just go pick some equipment off the shelf and start doing this. So I did a nationwide search for this equipment and I found these old like aircraft engine manufacturing plants and these other old plants. And I said, hey, would you guys be interested in possibly renting out your equipment? You know, because I know what I need, but I don't want to go buy it. And one of them said, sure, we'd love to rent to you. So that kind of got the process started with, I said, well, I'm going to go do some serious fundraising now, because now I know I need big equipment to make a big product, and I'll start the fundraising to support that.
Well, before the fundraising, did somebody, I know your buddy fishing said he would buy everything you made. I get it. But that's just talk when you're fishing. I mean, did you really have somebody who had committed to buying?
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, we did.
How did
we
that happen? Many,
it was... you know, working with the various government agencies and then working with the various people in the private sector, they were like, if you can make a sustainable, recycled, better benefits product at the same price as what we're, you know, paying today. And that's the magic.
Yeah.
Right. You got to be, you can't say I'm a little more.
Yeah. You don't want to have to worry about a government subsidizing your ability to sell it.
That's
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So you had to be able to come in and say, I got a product that's as good or better. Right. And at the same price, and it's got better benefits, and it's got a lower carbon footprint. And so you had to like tick all these boxes. And so, you know, with that, everybody that looked at us, they said, man, you do that. Like, we got your back.
And you believed them?
Yes.
Why?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
People say that all the time. And then it comes to getting them to change how they do things. And then, get somebody else to do it first.
You know, having people like the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment support us, you know, through this period.
On, they always talk. They always say yes.
I agree.
You know, so seriously.
But they were great. And they came through. As a matter of fact, they supported us with our very first, they bought our first run of product out. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, they did.
Did they commit to that in writing before you had funding? Like,
no.
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 So you still had to
sell
the dream.
I had to sell the dream. Of course you do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. If you're making first of a kind. It's like making like, you know, the first electric car, you know, or you're making something first of the kind. You have to go out on a limb and say, you know, or new food, right? If you made chocolate, right? You got to go.
Yeah, but
I could describe it to you, but once you try it.
Yeah, but come on. You don't have to buy massive equipment in order to make a chocolate bar, or you mentioned Laura Bar. She was on the show years ago. But this is like serious stuff, and you have to get investors to write a big check before you made sales.
You do. I think that
pre-revenue on manufacturing is very tough.
It is extremely tough. And with that, I think that you have to have the right investors in the room that have a vision, that they care. And our investors, I mean, the Heritage Group believed in us just from the beginning. Mm. And you look at who they are, what they stand for, you know, they're an infrastructure leader. They know the environmental cleanup space. They know waste products. They know recycling. They know circularity. I mean, they live, eat, sleep, breathe that. Hell, yeah. They pave the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Mm. So to have people like that know, that are in the know, look at you and go, well, this makes sense.
Yeah. So they, and you, I'm sure you shared the samples and the science to some extent. Now you've patented all this, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's all protected.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about that some more in a minute, but before I want to talk, like, what was the hardest part about going, you know, making a block, that's one thing, you know, a small block you can hold and say, well, this is cool. But making an actual barrier product and such, I mean, what's the hardest part of scaling from making a block to making something that weighs a ton?
We don't have enough time on that one.
Well, give us an example.
I'll give you some fun. When you scale things up, there's 1,000 little engineering details that you have to get right. And so that means there's 1,000 different ways for you to get it wrong.
Yeah.
And you know, people don't think about the fact that you're moving a one-ton product. And that one-ton product, you have to be able to get that one ton of material in. You have to be able to get that ton of material when finished good out. And then you have to be able to store it, and you have to be able to handle it, and you have to be able to move it. And the material alone, when you start talking, hey, I'm moving a ton of a material per product, you know, then you say, well, how many tons do I have to have on site? Then you're like, well, I got to have, you know, 200, 300, you know, you got to have a lot of tons on site.
So how many iterations, I'm interrupting, how many iterations of cooking this thing? Well, you don't really cook it.
No.
But how many iterations? Because you have to get the recipe right between the different ingredients. And 90, how much of it is rubber, actually?
Yes, this is 95% plus recycled material.
All right. And then there's some other stuff that goes in to hold it together.
Yep.
Right? And you're not going to give us the formula for that. But how many iterations did you have to go through, right, of those mixes and pressure and how long it had to sit and all the, like,
a
until
lot.
You got it to where, what would you guess?
Hundreds upon hundreds.
Really, hundreds?
Hundreds.
Wow.
It was massive. It's so difficult because it is a delicate balance, right? There's a lot of factors that play into it. And, you know, once you understand it, you're like, I can do that. But getting it there... Oh, it was brutal.
Yeah. Did you have one day when you're like, all of you stood around, looked at it, it came out, and you're like, we're done?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
You had one day? What was that? How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, we did our first one in the facility that we rented. We had a very small group there, and we had our investors there on site, as a matter of fact. And we were getting ready to release our first one, and right then we had a big boom crane that was sitting over the first one, right? And our electrician had temporarily wired power for our new, you know, utilization. And he put the power lines, unbeknownst to us, this is all, is all certified, right? You're just like, but he put the power lines over the boom crane's rail. So we're like, okay, we just finished our first barrier and we're going to pull it out and we're going to use the boom crane. And we're all excited, right? And so we go to move the boom crane and it rolls over the power lines. And this lights the facility. And the investors are on site. And I'm thinking to myself, this is number one, right? And I'm thinking to myself, it's all gone. We're done. It's over. There's no way in hell this is going to go any farther, right? Because the place sparks and the noise and the, you know, and we're like, don't touch anything. You know, the ground's hot. You know, we're like, get a broom. And you're trying to shut the power out. It was just.
With the investors in the room.
In the room.
Oh, my God. They weren't laughing either,
were they? They were not. Right. But, you know, what was beautiful was that the product came out great. It came out great. And, you know, then we were like, hey, can we do, you know, let's do it again. Right. So and we're like, well, we don't have any power, right? So we had to get the power fixed, get it rerun, right? And we do it again. And then you just, you know, it's manufacturing. You're like, hey, do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've never stopped improving every day.
Yeah. Cool. Now, talk a bit about the funding, because you did get some cool, you mentioned Heritage, Goodyear Ventures. What an interesting partner, right? I mean, the supply chain is your investor, right?
Yeah.
And they must be thrilled.
Oh, yeah. Goodyear's been fantastic, right? Heritage Group's been fantastic. We have Carlyle Group's, the former CFO over there, John Harris. Longtime supporter. Big shout out to John and Ginger at the Heritage Group and Chris and Abhijit and the guys at Goodyear. Mm-hmm. So they've all just been super, super supportive.
And now you got an $11.2 million grant from Colorado, Circular Communities. And that's not a loan. It's not matching. It's a grant.
That is correct.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
How did that happen?
You know, I feel very blessed. You know, just a lot of people put in a lot of work to really realize a vision. And it happened by, I'm going to say, the CEDC, headed up by Lori, Jeff over at the CDPHE, and then the team at Pretred. Everybody got together to really make this happen. Sure. And say, hey, we have a solution for the state where we can start taking waste tires in bulk and make them circular. We can turn them into environmentally friendly products on a mass scale and make it circular.
And you'll export from Colorado to the country and maybe the world.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We're exporting to Canada as we speak.
That's cool. All right. And you know, that's so encouraging to hear how our government in Colorado is supporting this kind of innovation and production and so forth. All right, let's take a quick break and remind listeners, this is ProCo 360, named Best Colorado Business Podcast the last 4 years. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and this is a podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs. My guest today is Eric Davis. We're talking about Pretred. I want to thank our sponsors. They mean so much to me. Kinsley Meetings is ProCo 360's longest running sponsor, and it's growing based on a great reputation for producing and conducting conventions and meetings that serve their customers' goals and objectives. Also, my friends at Via Technologies, thanks for hosting ProCo 360 and all the great help your team gives me around managing the website. Colorado Biz Magazine is a partnership that we're working with on building our audiences together. And Denver Angels, hey, like this episode, we're partnering to feature great Colorado companies. I want to thank my friend David Pritchard for connecting us, Eric, so encouraging us to do this episode. So, hey, go to proco360.com and check out these great partners. Hey, and I have a bonus sponsor for this episode and a couple more, because it's that time of year when we think about taxes. As a bonus, right, this episode is sponsored by the Department of Revenue's new sales and use tax system. That's SUTS. It's your free one-stop shop for Colorado's tax jurisdictions. Quickly file and pay statewide with simple online forms in the SUTS portal. Go to tax.colorado.gov. Okay, all the sponsors are thanked. We can keep moving. And I want to talk to you, because this seems like it's one of those great inventions, Eric, that, I should have thought of and didn't, right? All of us could have, but we didn't. You did. And now it's proving out to be really successful. So it's time for the knockoffs, the copycats, especially, the other side of the world. What are you seeing about that?
Yeah, we don't have any competition. So it's kind of an interesting space to be in right now.
You can't get investors if you say you have no competition. They don't believe you. They don't believe you.
It's the strangest thing, right? Please don't tell them. Don't tell them. But seriously, we are the first of a kind in the world. And we're also the first of a kind to on all of our manufacturing approaches. So when you look at this, it's all brand new. So it's going to take people, time, and then they have to try to figure it out. And I look at that and I say, good luck. I mean, the hoops that we had to go through and the things we had to learn, and it was massive.
I'm sure here's a pushback on that a little bit, because it's always difficult when you're the first, because you don't know what can be done. The 4-minute mile couldn't be broken for, decades. And now it's at, 350, and every, the top 25, 50 runners are So it's like when people see it can be done, they figure it out pretty fast. And so you've already paved that way. So I can't imagine that somebody's, that doesn't care about patents is going to try to copy you.
somebody's always going to try to copy you.
Yeah.
There's no way around it, right? There's just no way, especially with the interest, the engagement, the sales that we've had. There's no way around it. With that, it's not a short journey, right?
And they're heavy. It's not like we're going to import fakes. Somebody's not going to order a barrier on Amazon and have it shipped cheaper, right? I mean, you're in a different world.
Yeah, yeah. It's a totally different thing. And then, you know, you start looking at the capital equipment costs. Whoever steps into the game, they better have a lot of money, they better have a lot of talent, and they better have a lot of patience. A lot of patience.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you too about the competition, because really you're competing right now, not with somebody who makes the same product, but with somebody who makes concrete, traditional, established stuff. And you told me earlier, yours is not more expensive, right? So it's better, same price. Some people are so resistant to change. Mm-hmm. Like, is that your biggest competition now?
It is. So I like that, you know, some of the you know, good things you learn in life. What's our biggest competition? Do nothing. Right? So the person that's been buying something the same way for the last 60 years, they look up and they go, well, I'm just going to do nothing. I'm just going to keep doing what I've always done. But the interesting thing right now is that we are the first recycled, sustainable, circular product to compete in this space. So it's kind of like saying you've had milk, you know, for 60 years and then organic milk comes out. We're that. So once people understand, it's like, hey, we are recycled, we are sustainable, we are circular, right? We are an improved product and we're the same price.
But organic milk is like 50%
more
expensive.
That's correct. And we're not.
Yeah.
And so then they go, hey, man, I'm starting to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But then something else that's really helped us a lot on the sales side has been the fact that so many people are focused on purchasing something that is sustainable or circular or recycled. And these businesses have policies in place and they say, if a product or government, right?
If you can, do it.
If you can, or they're mandated to do it, right?
Yeah.
And they don't know we exist. And then we walk in the door and they go, my God, I didn't know there was a sustainable product to concrete.
Right. But now you've got to prove the concept. You've got to prove that it's safe as a barrier. You've got to prove that it won't degrade over time. You've got to prove that you can wash graffiti off of it.
Yes.
Right. So talk about all those proof points.
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest things for us, and that's a great approach, right? Like Missouri, the show me state, right? So for us to go out and get our Department of Transportation testing completed and be approved, to get that roadway, the federal roadway approval.
Yeah.
And be the first of a kind in the world to get that.
It's got
to
be.
It was brutal. But let me tell you, we got it. And so now that credentializes you. That kind of puts that stamp, hey, the feds have approved you, you know? So now you're ready to go on the roadway.
And you got a big notable customer, right?
Yes, we've got many. I mean, I've known. Sharing some wonderful customers. We have Kiewit, Mortenson, Swinerton, DIA, Denver Police, Red Rocks Amphitheater, Colorado Convention Center, the Coliseum. We've got...
What about on highways?
On highways. No, we just launched that product. And as a matter of fact, so for the timing of this podcast, right? I'm chuckling because we're announcing it in 4 days.
Ah, well, this podcast will be out after you announce it.
There you go. So, but yeah, we're announcing our it's called a TL2. It just means a speed rating. So it's a 44 mile an hour rated product. So we have had, you know, large Dodge Ram trucks thrown at our product, and we've had, you know, cars thrown at our product.
So you have to pay for those cars, don't you?
You do. You have to pay for the testing.
Oh,
get me started.
You got to have a brand new truck crash into your product?
Yeah, you got to have a truck. I looked at it, but I was like, hey, do we get the truck when the test is over?
Man.
Can we fix that?
Well, they probably have to take it back and do all kinds of
testing.
On it.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah.
Can you tell me, what does it cost to do these tests?
Oh man, they can range. It just depends on what you get done, right? So you can be in the, you know, we'll say the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Plus
right?
the truck.
Yes. and you have to think that you have to do it many, many times.
Oh, gee.
So people don't, some people don't understand, like take a car manufacturer, or somebody running a vehicle into something, man, it takes some money.
Wow. Okay. And your investors know that, hey, we're giving you millions of dollars to destroy trucks.
Yes, they do. Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
I'm very sure understanding people.
All right, so let's, all right, well, it's the process. And unless you get, I mean, that's like the Holy Grail. You have to get the approval or you can't move on, right? So let's talk, switching gears a little bit, talk about these tires you're sourcing. Because there are millions and millions of tires that are just sitting around. And in your production facility, I saw bags of, am I violating the non-disclosure by saying
you saw tire material.
Okay. Well, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
And like, where does it all come from?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the United States generates, like we said, about a tire per person. So you got 350 million tires. Colorado this year, we'll focus on Colorado. We're going to generate about 7.5 million tires this year. Usually as a state, and these are matters of public record, we'll take about 4 or 5 million tires and we'll burn them.
Wow. That is not what environmentalists would like to see.
We take another 2 million tires, give or take, and we'll send them to landfill. They're chopped up into little bits each time, right?
Less volume, yeah.
One is sent to landfill called Alternative Daily Cover, and one is sent to, you know, be burned, ironically, by concrete plants.
Huh.
So those 7 million tires. Now, part of what we've done with the state of Colorado, and this is the beauty of this approach, you know, this grant that we've gotten, is that allows Pretread to take those tires instead of having them burned, or buried in a landfill. It allows us to take that waste and turn them into our environmentally friendly barrier products. Then when our environmentally friendly barrier products have end of life or they have a problem, they get damaged, whatever, we can recycle them fully circularly back into themselves.
Wow.
So it keeps that chain going.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So if you imagine it's the highest value use of material, and doesn't matter if it's tires or plastic, whatever it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You want to make it as circular as possible. Well, we're fully circular.
And that's why you got the $11 million grant. What are you spending the money on?
Yeah, it's equipment. So, you know, Colorado, the C3 board and the leaders of Colorado have supported us with doing our entire processing facilities equipment that allows us to process that waste. And that's the magic, because right now we're bringing waste in from out of the state, believe it or not. Mm.
Tires are being shipped into Colorado.
Wow. We've got 60 million in start. You can't make it up. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
that number is unfathomable.
Yes.
But anyway, I'm glad you're fixing it. Let's talk about, though, the full environmental impact. Because one thing that made me curious, like, you're bringing tires in, that's transportation. So there's an impact on the environment from that.
Yes.
You're manufacturing, there's some environmental impact from that. I mean, using power or whatever, using it. When you think about the net, where do you fall?
Yeah, I can give you that. That's a really good question. So we have been studied by an independent firm, you know, and they come in and they take a look at your power and your shipping and all your material, blah, yep, blah, 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 yep, right? They go down through the whole deal. But they came away with, we're 283% less carbon footprint than concrete.
Wow.
That's a pretty big number.
Does that include the total life usage of your product?
It's every step to create the product, right? Mm. So now the lifespan of the product is something separate. We do outlive concrete, and most people they'd go, well, how could you outlive stone? Well, remember, these are portable barriers, right? They're meant to be something that you place and you use it for traffic, or, you know, you use it for parking, or you use it for rock fall or whatever, and they get broken. And the more you place them and the more you bump concrete, the more it breaks.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone here has seen them. Like, they drive down
I-70. They look terrible.
Look terrible, right?
Yeah.
Ours are just big bouncy blocks of rubber,
right?
So you look at them and you go, my God, you know, it's just a solid block and it's going to be there in another 10 or 20 years.
One of the things I love about your product too is that, you might not choose to paint it. You can just use a regular screw and screw signage into it, screw reflectors into it, screw decorative logos. You can just put anything on it and you can take it off. It's like super simple.
Yeah, we do love that, right? It lets us brand something special for people, you know, or it also lets us, we can do custom molding on a product. So somebody wants a logo molded we can do that.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
So are you selling all you can make?
Yes. Yeah.
Is your biggest problem just production capacity?
Yeah, I like to look at it as, you know, we kind of opened up a bakery and we're making about 100 donuts a day. I'll use a donut as an example, right? And we have people that walk in the door and they want 10,000 or 20,000 or 5,000. And we're like, well, we can't really, you know, we're doing 100. We're like this small little, you know, we're scaling up. But how about you take 20 or 50 And they go, you know, no.
Is that sort of discouraging for them?
No. It's not. It's actually, it's really? Not. Oh, yeah. Because many of them, they buy, you know, many times regularly throughout the years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they're like, you know, well, hey, when you can meet this demand, let us know.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, are they buying some mix of traditional product with yours?
Yeah. Most of them will default back to concrete.
Yeah, because they have to. They have to have them. Yeah.
Yeah. And, our, you know, we do have other competition in plastic filled with water.
I've seen those. Yeah.
But states are banning them, you know, and people don't like them because they get hit and they leak out chemicals.
Yeah.
So that's not as much of an issue. Mm-hmm. But the concrete, it's like, you know, if I can't get what I want at one bakery, I'm just going to go to another
one.
I'm going to go to the old one.
Until you're, but you are building capacity.
Yes, we are scaling right now. So we're tripling the size of the Colorado facility. Mm. We are moving to a new location and we will have, it'll be a state-of-the-art facility, be the first of its kind in the United States. And it just waste on one side and finished environmentally friendly goods coming out the other.
Cool.
So,
and your product's super easy to ship. The forklift stacks it, you put it on a truck, and out it goes.
Out it goes.
So let's talk, you've gotten some great recognition too, in addition to this podcast, right? You were recognized as one of the coolest things made in Colorado by the Colorado Chamber of Commerce. And I'm sure you're getting recognized by a lot of places now, aren't you? Cool, innovative product. Does that help give you traction, or does it just, it feels good, but it doesn't really matter?
No, it actually does help give you traction. And I find the more, you know, even like meeting you, spending time with David Pritchard, Denver Angels, right? Building our network, we're more of an education, right? Once people find out we exist, they go, well, why wouldn't I buy that? Right? So the more we can network and the more we can talk to people and say, hey, we're here, you know, the better off we are.
I'm actually surprised though at that reaction. Why wouldn't we buy that? Because in my career, you know, people, I've just found people being so resistant to change. I think maybe there's a great sweet spot, an intersection between the quality, the problem your product solves and sort of timing. You know, the companies really do, if they don't have to pay more, you know, they really do want something that's environmentally better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you had done this 20 years ago, I don't know.
100%. Yeah, you are correct.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years ago, even, you know, like when I first started this 10 years ago, you know, give or take, if I would have looked at this and said, were we ready to scale on nationally or internationally back then? No. But where we sit today in America, it is the right place at the right time, you know, and I see nothing. My going international has just been a blessing as well.
Yeah, that's, I could see just from what you're, I mean, these are heavy products. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, going international would probably mean opening up production facilities in other places.
It does.
I mean, right. But they've got a source of input right there.
They
There's tires everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not going to ship these things if you don't have to.
No.
But I could see where other countries would love solving their problems with this.
We've had great conversations with Qatar, United Arab Emirates, England, Japan, France, Costa Rica, Mexico, Colombia, Brazil, Dominican Republic, Haiti.
Are these tires worth anything?
No.
All right. Last couple of things. Colorado, it sounds like Colorado has been great for pre-tread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there something I'm missing there?
No, it's a shout out to Colorado. I mean, you know, people like, the Denver Angels, the CEDC, the CDPHE, you know, the support we've had, I just met with the Attorney General the other day, right? Federico Pena, spent a lot of time with him, been a longtime supporter, Senator Michael Bennett, you know, everybody has just leaned in.
That's great.
And tech stars, you know, David Cohen, he's been out here, just think the world. And it's just been great. So our state, it just flat out has been a fantastic place to start this company up. You know, and I feel really blessed that we've got just such strong support from everybody involved.
I'm glad to hear it. It sounds like going forward, driving down the highway in 5 years, we're going to see pre-tread lining these highways and not concrete.
That is correct.
I hope so.
Yeah, you're spot on.
And you know what? It looks so much nicer too. I mean, it's just clean and it just looks nicer. And I hope that we'll do that in Colorado.
Wow, thank you for that.
What do you, thinking back 10 years now, what do you wish you had known entering the journey that you had to learn kind of the hard way?
That's a tough question. You know, boy, I'm not a spring chicken. And I tell you, you know, had I known how long and hard the journey was going to be, I wish I could have told myself that, you know, but I think understanding investors and funding, especially in a very unique space, you know, so understanding like this is manufacturing and this is not, I'm sure everybody that's listening, right? You look at Colorado is not known as a manufacturing state, right? And here I'm like, hey, let's light up a manufacturing plant.
Well, we do a lot of advanced manufacturing, correct, but not a lot of sort of industrial
correct
stuff, right?
Yeah.
But you know, okay, I got to tell you, you don't see, I know you, because you run the business, believe it's a manufacturing company. I don't know. It doesn't feel like that to me. To me, just looking from the outside in, it feels like, you know, you're solving a problem with an innovative, like through innovation. And it doesn't, you know, someday, maybe when you're selling a million of these, it'll feel like a manufacturing company. Right now, it seems like more innovative than, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing the boat.
No, you're spot on. And thank you for that. I've always felt like we're an advanced materials engineering firm.
That's what I meant to say.
That's it. I've always, you know, but thank you, right? I've always felt like we're just a bunch of big kids that make really cool Play-Doh. And we shape it into different shapes for different customers, right? Yeah. Whether it's the military or, I mean, they want a different product, or the race car companies want a different product, or transportation, or they all want something different. And I love the fact, you know, that's what gets me up in the morning, right? I love the fact that we get to make all these different things for these different customers.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's someday, right? It's going to be where it's just, you know, you're pumping out a whole lot of product. You know, we got eight plants across the United States. We got, you know, 5-6 plants internationally, and it's just numbers, you know, but we're certainly not that today. So yeah. I'm enjoying the journey.
Cool. Last question. Like, if someone were thinking about getting involved in this sustainable products business now, you know, thinking about the journey that you've had, like what advice would you give them from the beginning that would have made that journey easy, make it easier for them now?
And that is a really good question. Number one, focus on having a price competitive product. You must have a price competitive product out of the gate. So, you know, I think when you introduce a product, you have to be able to say, I've got the same or better benefits at the same or lesser price. That's how you get people off do nothing, right? You know, do the same.
Yeah.
You know, you have to move the needle. And it's, you know, I love that you did the Lara Barr and Lara interview, right? Because I'd met her as well.
Yeah.
And I love when I met her in Costco, she looked at me and she said, you know, I'm just giving away my product. She's a little corner table, right? Yeah, I'm giving it away for free so that people will try it. And that's like when you make a new product, you have to be able to give some away or discount the pricing in the beginning and get them to engage with the product and then say, now I'm going to my normal pricing. And then when you prove you are superior, you're safer, you're better, you taste better, whatever it may be, right? Then you say, well, here's my new pricing for those value-added things I've brought in. But you have to go out and say, I created a price-competitive product, number one.
That's cool. And by the way, I'm a little embarrassed. I never did have Lara Barr. I had Bobo.
Oh.
Remember Bobo started in Boulder?
Yeah.
Disclosure.
All right.
Well, okay. On that embarrassing note, I think we should wrap. I think we'll wrap up. Listeners, I'm your host, Dave Tabor. Today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my conversation with Eric Davis, CEO of Pretread. Eric, it's been so good to have you on ProCo 360.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been wonderful.
Yeah. What a journey you've had. And I can't wait to see. So like I said, though, every road where there are barriers are lined with Pretread. That'll be so cool. And by the way, listeners, I'm telling you, I was trying to twist Eric's arm. I think he needs to put his Pretread logo on every single item. Every single one. We'll see what happens. Listeners, glad you're here on ProCo 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere. And like Pretread, choose Colorado. You make the show successful by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast. If you haven't yet, it's a huge help if you submit a review in your app. Thanks again to show sponsors, Via Technologies, Kinsley Meetings, Denver Angels, who connected Eric and me and Pretread today, and Colorado Biz Magazine. That's the show. Live, work, love Colorado. and that's that.
That was cool. Fun.
Good.
Thank you. Yeah. I had a wonderful time.
Oh,
great
good.
Questions.
Oh, thank you.